If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello, hello, hello. This is a glimpse into the workroom, the premium feed of Sissy That Pod. This week, there's an episode up there with Janie Jacquet. Her and I get into a snatch game of UK versus the world, season 2, episode 4. Janie shares her experience of Snatch Game in season 1 of UK vs. the World and also what it was like having to send home Cheryl Hole. Janie was absolutely great. It was a really fun episode. If you are already signed up to the premium feed, I hope you enjoy it. If you are interested in signing up, head over to headstuffpodcast.com. Signing up to the premium feed costs only €5 a month. You'll get all of our coverage of UK vs. the World and all our back catalogue bonus content that you can enjoy to your heart's desire. And you'll know that you're supporting the show too, which you'll be forever indebted to. To give you an example of what it's like over there, here is a quick 10-minute snippet of this week's episode. Janie Jacquet, thank you so much for joining us here in the workroom on Sissy That Pod. And I must say at the top, I genuinely have not seen the spoilers for this season. Last week, when John Prisbon went home, I happened to have her season 4 sister. Now Kate Minaj has got home, I have her Dutch sister on. Maybe I'm just an excellent booker. I don't know. How are you enjoying this season? And are you disappointed Kate is gone?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, babe. I'm really enjoying this season. It's the whole concept of international girls coming together is a really fun concept. There's so many influences coming together, which is really fun to watch, and especially seeing how they, you know, want to book some alliances or not, or how they're responding to it. And also this season, you really notice like the UK girls aren't safe because it is in the UK. So it's very interesting development. I watched the episode last night with the girls and Kata was there. And it was hard to see her get eliminated. And the last review show that I did was also the episode that she got eliminated. So this is the world telling us this is my forte.
Did you know she was going home when we had this date in the calendar?
No. No, okay. when we requested a day to do a podcast, all I said was, I really want to do an episode where Kata will be in the season. And then I think the universe is laughing at us. Ha 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 ha. It happened. But no, I did. I don't watch spoilers at all, really. No, I don't enjoy that. I really enjoy. Also for the girls, like I've lived through the experience. You know how long they have to keep their mouth shut. You really want to go in it and experience, you know, how they made it and what they did and enjoy it that way.
Absolutely. Right. We'll jump to the start of the episode. I know I kind of jumped to the end there, but we'll jump back to the start. Tia is revealing who that she sent home, John Pers, as well, which surprised me. I thought she might be more willing to kick off Kata then, because Kata had just been in the bottom once. She was kind of more of a threat. I'm surprised she kicked off John Pers. But then we get some kind of tea, like relatively warm tea, about like, you know, the reason why I sent her home over all my other UK sisters is neither of you had an argument with my ex-boyfriend on their season, which I thought was like in there. But I was like, oh, I need more about that.
We were watching it and immediately we said Tia is making television gold. Like she really knows how to play that. It's funny. It's relatable. She's so sweet in real life, but it also really translates in her, you know, goofy way of being herself, and we really enjoy it. I mean, there's so much tea to behold. But I appreciated her just being real about it. You know, it's always cool. It's always a little awkward revealing that lipstick on that couch.
Oh, absolutely. And then I was trying to remember, I don't know if I can remember whether this argument between Pixie and John Pers was on screen or off screen, or like my mind was whirring then in the background trying to remember if there was like something that we saw. I don't know if you can remember or not.
I don't remember, no.
No.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, there's so many little talks and fights and stuff that I'm like, oh, wait, which one is she talking about again? Yes, microaggressions, darling.
It was your season where there was a fight at the catering table, wasn't there? It was. I think I remember that was Abby and Sadr Jean.
Oh my gosh, yeah. It's one of those when the cameras go off and then the girls pop the fuck off. It was very, messy, to say the least.
I was like, I've never seen an argument over at the catering table before, but I'm living for it. I was like, listening to the drama.
It gave us one of the most iconic Nepa 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 wife
yes
comments of the season.
So funny. And I think that's what's really, I really enjoyed this season, because it kind of feels like the Eurovision of Drag Race. I know obviously Marina is there and Scarlett's there as well, but it just feels like it's like a pan-European Drag Race, and you see the influences from different corners. I mean, Hannah's there as well, but I guess, you know, Australia in Eurovision, which I really enjoy. I know there's a global All-Stars coming soon as well, which I guess will be more of a global look, but do you find that as well when you watch it, the kind of pan-Europe influence on the show?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, because we've had so many, it was so US-based for such a long time, it is really interesting seeing all these different influences, and especially if they're bringing them together. I think with the Global All-Stars, it's just going to be different rules than there is on the UK versus the world seasons.
Yeah.
I think they will probably be a little bit more US-based. Hopefully they'll do the same thing where girls just don't go home. I think we really all enjoy that as fandom and as Drag Race girls, where you could get to show everything you bring instead of going home. So I do love that concept. But it's just a wonderful experience. And it's the same thing I experienced in my season. All of these different ideas and views of drag and different backgrounds, you know, how you went into drag and how you learned to do drag and all these different stories coming together really creates a beautiful sisterhood.
I know. And I mean, like, UK versus the World season one, like, kind of birthed Jimbo onto a global stage and stuff like that, and Pangina, and it was mm-hmm. such a brilliant season to be in the room with everybody. Who do you think you learned the most from on your season?
I mean, definitely I would say Jujubee, because she's such a veteran, you know. She just knows. She just knows the tea. It's like she really taught me a lot to be in the moment, and she said something really quite beautiful that I still hold to myself every couple of days. I still remind myself. She said, "Janie, if you don't win, it means there's no end to your story, and you can always come back, darling." And then she made me go like, "Yeah, losing is kind of the new winning. You know, there's always more to be written. You know, not that if you win, it's the end, because now we do have all winter seasons, and there's a different. But it wasn't at the time when I did the season." So you know, Jujubee taught me a lot, and everybody really did. We all sort of grew together, but I would say Juju.
Yeah, I mean, I love Juju, one of my favorite. I'll never stop talking about Juju on this podcast. Who of this? So out of this season's cast, kind of who's remaining? You know, we see Scarlett having to choose from the remaining eight people to go who on their snatch game. Who of these would you have most liked to compete against?
Just in general, I mean, it's hard to say, because I would love to have been in the same room with so many of these queens to be able to just giggle and laugh and learn and just, you know, talk crazy. And then also competing, but I would have loved to be there with Tia Coffee. I think she's such a special person, so beautiful. I followed Hedda Conda for way before she went on Drag Race. And she's such a hoot. I would have loved to be there with her. I think Theresa May has a really crazy mind that may have unlocked some crazy stuff in me too. I think with Le Grand Dame, I would just be in awe, of her beauty and the fashion and the beating and the sequins and the height. But there's definitely a couple of those that I would have loved to compete against. Just not in any snatch game, because we all know how that went for me.
I've got questions on that a bit later on. But like, Le Grand Dame is only 23, I think I saw. I was like, what? Like, she feels so fully formed. And I know, like, you have a queen like Aquaria or whatever who won when she was 21 or whatever, but like, for her second season out, to see her being friends with Jean-Paul Gaultier and stuff like that, she just feels so fully formed. That's wild. She's only 23.
I think the word is sophisticated. I think that's really what I feel when I look at her. It's sophisticated. It's statuesque. It is like, it's something you're born with. You know, it's just the je ne sais quoi that she has. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Parfait. Yeah,
look at me. I mean, Europeans. Like... Yes.
I mean, to compare her to Gothy. Who, we're all on our own individual journey, but Gothy is kind of 2 or 3 years older than her, and is still, like, as she says, figuring herself out, and seems to kind of lack this sophistication or confidence in herself, because, like, the drag is great, but just, like, can't let go. It's really, you know, to see how Le Grand Dame has conquered those demons already is pretty impressive.
It is. It is. And for Gotti, it's like, we all know, we all kind of know, you know, it's such a pressure cooker of a moment, and it's such a moment in time. We always say this to everybody who's watching the show, you know, and one slight little doubt of that inner demon can really, really, really create a fog. I think that's really what she's having. There's a little bit of fog in her mind. But we're hoping and we're praying that she's going to break through that. She's so endearing to everyone. We love watching her. She's stunningly gorgeous. So, you know, she's going to pull through. We feel it.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's talk about the Snatch Game. I mean, the choosing of the teams means kind of nothing here, really, because everyone's playing individually. It's just whether you get to be with Sunita or Jane McDonald.
That's it for the snippet. If you want to hear the rest of it, head over to headstuffpodcast.com to get access to the episode and the whole coverage of this season and to support the show at large. See you over there.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.